Okay, good evening. We're going to be having our weekly shiur in the Parsha. And this year we're going to be studying the commentary of the Netziv. Very, very exciting, the Hamak Davar. And of course, starting off with Bereishis. The Parsha is so vast, there's no way we're going to even scratch the surface. And the truth is, the first piece this week, the first piece is the most impactful, the most powerful. It's a very, very, very famous comment of the Netziv in terms of why the Navi refers to Sefer Bereishis as Sefer Hayashar. You could follow it along. You could follow along, hey Menachem, how you doing? Good to see you. You could follow it along on the notes that I sent out. You know, and when we're in person, I'll have these notes copied for you. But there's a beautiful introductory piece, a very famous comment in the Netziv. Let's read it together. It says the Netziv, Zeh HaSefer HaNikra Sefer Bereishis. This book called Sefer Bereishis, Nikra B'fi HaNeviim Sefer HaYashar. It is referred by the Neviim as Sefer HaYashar, the book of the straight. What does this mean, the book of the straight, Sefer HaYashar? Kedisa B'Maseches Avodah Zarah. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Hey Jay, nice to see you. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Chaf Hey Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, Al Shnei Mikros B'Sefer Yoshua. There are two psukim in Sefer Yoshua, Elohi Ksuva al Sefer HaYashar. So Sefer Yoshua refers to something called the Sefer HaYashar. Over Sefer Shmuel Beis, Vayomer, Lelamed B'nei Yehuda Keshes, in Ksuva al Sefer HaYashar. So there's a pasuk in Yoshua, Yud Yud Gimel, pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Aleph Yud Ches. They all refer to this book called Sefer HaYashar. What is the Sefer HaYashar? Mefarsh Rabbi Yochanan. So in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yochanan explains in the Gemara, what are these two psukim Sefer HaYashar referring to? What is Sefer HaYashar referring to? Says the Gemara, Umefarsh Rabbi Yochanan, Zeh Sefer Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Shenikru'u Yesharim. This is the book of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, who are known as Yesharim, the straight ones, namely Sefer Bereishis, that tells us the story of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Shenikru Yesharim, they are called the straight ones. Shenemar, Tamos Nafshi, Mos Yesharim. Like Bilam says, Bilam craves for the death of the Jewish people, meaning Bilam craves that he would benefit to have a death like the death of the Yesharim, like the death of the straight ones, the death of the Jewish people. And then Netziv asks the obvious question. With all of the accolades and all of the character traits and all of the descriptive phrases that one might use for the Avos, Yesharim seems a little out of place. Why did Bilam refer to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov as Yesharim? Velot Tzadikim. Oh, Chasidim, V'chadoma. Wouldn't it make much more sense? Isn't it a much more complimentary term to call somebody a tzaddik or a chasid? That's question number one. V'gam, lama mechuna zeh ha-sefer b'yichud b'kinuy yesharim. Why is this book of Bereishis referred to as the book of Yesharim? U'bilam hispala la'atzmo. Bilam davened about himself, Tamas Nafshi Mos Yesharim. Bilam davened about himself that he should die like Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, the Yesharim. So what's all this focus on Yesharim? In the Netziv's understanding, what exactly is a Yashar? Why is this the defining trait of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? Where do we see the defining trait of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov as being a Yashar? And why did Bilam crave the death of the Yashar? So the Netziv has a very, very striking and original and interesting explanation about this. Let's see what he has to say. V'ha inyan, says the Netziv, D'nisbar b'shiras ha'azino al ha'pasuk, Hatsur tamim pa'alo, Kichol d'rachav mishpat, Kel emuna ve'ein avel, tzadik v'yashar hu. Hashem is described as tzadik v'yashar. De shevach yashar hu nema lahat tzadik. I'm sorry. The Shevach Yashar, who Nemar, the way the Netziv understands that pasuk, La Hatzik Din Akadosh Baruch Hu Bechurban Bayis Sheni, Shehayador Ikesh Ufisalto. The Netziv understands the pasuk in Shiras Hazinu, where Hashem is explaining that sometimes he has to bring his midah of justice. And the midah of justice even maybe sometimes comes to destroy a Beis HaMikdash, like the second Beis HaMikdash, which was a crooked Dor Ikesh Ufisalto, a crooked generation. What do you mean? Hashem is tzaddik v'yashar. Upirashnu, the Netziv says, if you look at my commentary back in Parshas Hazinu, Shehayu tzaddikim v'chassidim v'amalei Torah, that the people at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, they were righteous, in a sense, they were tzaddikim, v'chassidim v'amalei Torah. They studied lots of Torah. They were righteous and they studied lots of Torah. Ach, lo hayu yisharim b'halichos olamim. However, they were not straight. They were not straight about how the world is supposed to operate. What do you mean they weren't straight? What does this mean? Look what he says, something unbelievable. He says, Al-Kain, mipnei sinas chinam shebelibam, because they possessed sinas chinam, because they possessed hatred, ze el ze, choshtu esmi sherou, shenoheg shelo kedatam b'yiras Hashem, shehu tztuki v'apikoris. Unbelievable words of the Netziv. The Netziv says that at the time of Bayis Sheni, the righteous people who studied Torah, they suspected that anyone who didn't have exactly their hashkafa, anyone who didn't act exactly the way these righteous people acted, if you don't follow my exact derech, you're an apikoros, you're a heretic, you're a tztuki. That's a lack of yashrus, as he explains. Ubo aydezel yidei shvichas damim b'derech haflaga. Unbelievably, says the Netziv, this led to the Churban Bayis, because there was such hatred and animosity, even amongst religious people, there was such hatred and animosity that they came to say that anyone who didn't do exactly like them is a heretic, and they came, Rachmanu Litzlan, to killing each other. That's what the Pasuk is referring to in Hazinu, Tzadik v'yashar hu. Shakarish Baruch Hu Yashar Hu. God is straight. Ve'eno sovel tzadikim ke'elu. God does not tolerate tzadikim who think only their method of serving God is the righteous one. Ela ba'ofen she'olchem b'derech ha'yashar gam b'halichos olam v'lo ba'akmimus afal gav shu l'shem shamayim. You could be l'shem shemayim, but you're still not a yashar. Dizeg gorim churban habriya v'arisus yishuv ha'aretz. So, if we were to try to explain what the Netziv is saying over here, he's saying step one in why Bereishis is called Sefer HaYashar. He didn't really speak about Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov yet. That's the next paragraph. He's explaining the churban happened with righteous people who were not tolerant, who were so caught up in only their derech is the right derech, that they ended up hating anyone who wasn't exactly like them, bad-mouthing and hating them to the extent they ended up killing them. That led to Shvichas Damim, and that led to Churban HaBayis. And the Netziv says there was a lack of yashrus. Again, if I would stop here, so yashar sounds like tolerance. But it's interesting, like, in what way is that yashar? In what way is yashar being tolerant of other drachim? So when we see the way he applies this to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, hopefully it'll become clearer. Look what he says. V'zeh haya shevach ha'avos. This was the great praise of our Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Shemilvad shayu tzadikim v'chassidim v'o'avei Hashem b'ofen hayoser efsher. Not only were they tremendously righteous and scrupulous and lovers of Hashem in the highest way possible, they served God in the highest way that they possibly could, Od hayu yisharim. On top of that, they were straight. What do you mean they were straight? What do you mean they were straight? The youngest of Woodmere is going to have to call me back. What do you mean they were straight? What does it mean they were straight? He says, Hainu, Shehisnagu im umos ha'olam, afilu ovde alilam mechu'arim, that they were tolerant and understanding, even of non-Jews, even of idol worshippers, mikol makom, hayu imam ba'ava, v'chashu l'tovosam. They still loved them as human beings, and they cared tremendously about the well-being of the non-Jews. So yashar means, are you straight in terms of worrying about what other people think? Straightness means it's not only about what you need and you want and you think. Yashar means there's a lot of different kinds of Jews in the world. There's a lot of different kinds of people, Jews and non-Jews in the world. They're not all only about us. Being a yashar means caring about the survival and the success of non-Jews as well. In what way is that being straight? So it seems that he's saying straightness means you care about the world's existence, the whole world. There's a straightness involved in caring about the entire world's success. That's how he's defining yashar. The whole world matters to you. You're straight in the sense that it's not about you. You are part of the world. Ba'asher hu kiyum abriya. K'mosh anaroim. K'mosh kama hishtateach Avram Avinu l'spal al stom. What's Avram Avinu davening for the wicked people of Sodom? Avagav shoyu sani osam ves malkam tachlis sina. You see the way Avram talked to the king of Sodom. He hated the Sodomites. He hated what they stood for. Unbelievable nitziv. The fact that Avram davened for Sodom, even though he hated them, but he felt that they had a right to live. He may have disagreed strongly with them. Not only did he feel they had a right to live, he went to bat for them. He went to go argue with the Rabbonu Shlom for them. That's Avram. Uver Rabba Parshas Vayera Isa Al Zeh Shama Kadosh Baruch Hu Avram Avinu Ahavta Tzedek V'Tisna Resha Ahavta Lahatzdik Es Briusei V'Tisna Lashian Vayinu Mamish Ka'av Hamon Goyim. And so Avram was called Av Hamon Goyim. Shal Gav Shein Ben Holich Mishom Kol Mokom Shocher Shlomo V'Tovo. Even if the sun goes off in a different direction, you care about him and you want the good for him. V'chein Hutzak chein. I don't know what this stands for. V'davar nifla al-davar Avram eslot. K'moshes bar pashas lech lecha. V'chein ra'inu. Yeah, what do you say? Oh, okay, right. V'chein, what should I say? Hutzak or Hutzak? Chein v'derech eretz nifla al-dvar Avram es lot. K'moshes bar pashas lech lecha. V'chein ra'inu kama noach ha'yitzak avinu l'spayas mimisanov. How easy was it for Noach to become appeased even from those who his enemies were, who hated, he hated. Right, you see the way Avram treated Lot with incredible derech eretz, and you see how easy it was that even though Lot was not from Avram's hashkafa, Lot was very, very far from Avram's hashkafa, and you see how easily Yitzchak Avimelech was totally wronged by Yitzchak was wronged by Avimelech, but he davened for him. Lavan wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu had Hashem not stopped him. And Yaakov knew this. It's a comparison of Yaakov and David HaMelech. that David HaMelech mentioned war, even when he was becoming appeased by people, but Yaakov Avinu didn't mention anything terrible. V'chein harbe lamadnu mehalichos ha'avos b'derech eretz. Thank you. B'derech eretz. So much we learn from the Derech Eretz. And it's interesting, there's a very specific application of the Derech Eretz here. Derech Eretz means it's easy to have Derech Eretz for people who are just like you, who think exactly like you. A Yashar is someone who has Derech Eretz for another human being that inhabits this earth, especially those that don't think exactly like you. Masha Shayach Lakim Ha'olam Yuchl Zah Sefer Sefer Abriya. Bilam couldn't imagine him being of the Madrega of Avi Mitzvah and Yaakov. Bilam came from a world of Tumah. Avi Mitzvah Yaakov came from a world of Kedusha. They had no Shaychus. But what Bilam was really jealous of was the Yashrus. Achein nispal ha'roi lucho b'derech eretz. That Bilam should have had the same as Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's what he said. Tomas nafshi mos yisharim. Like I wish I could be like these yisharim b'derech eretz. She'im sheroi olo l'lisno es Yisrael tachlis sina. He should have hated the Jewish people. Asher she'him b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov v'roshem makar ha'kedusha. But what about the Derech Eretz? Why was Bilam, granted they were very different, and he should have hated them, that made sense, but why should he get rid of them? That's Derech Eretz. Just because you hate somebody doesn't mean you daven for their demise. Doesn't mean you hate them. They're also human beings on this earth. They also deserve to live. Ve'enu Derech Yishar Alzet Sok Thomas Nafshi Mos Yishar Hainu Mekayme Habriya. That's his translation of Yashrus. And this is such an important lesson for the times that we live in today, that we seem to suffer tremendously from this plague, that everyone thinks only their derech is the right derech, whether it be amongst Frum people, kal v'chomer, the way Frum people interact with non-Jewish people. This is a plague that unfortunately, in our history, and then it's Siv. And it's Siv did not live necessarily at a time that the relationships between the non-Jews and the Jews was so great. And you see the Netziv here at the very foundation. The Netziv says that's why Sefer Bereishis is referred to Sefer HaYashar. Because Bereishis is about the creation of the world. And the creation of the world has to be founded on Derech Eretz, on respect for all living organisms and living creatures and all human beings. All human beings. The young Israel still wants me. All human beings. The world has to be founded on this type of Yashrus. So amazing that the Netziv says this is the whole foundation of the whole Torah. This is the whole foundation of all creation. Being tolerant, and that's what he calls being a Yashar. Being understanding that the world is made up of different parts, and the Iker is Derech Eretz, and davening for those people who you don't like. And davening and caring about those people who don't share your hashkafa is fascinating. A very famous opening commentary of the Netziv. Let's continue. The next piece that I'm suggesting is another pasuk, Vayar Elokim Kitov. Vayar Elokim Kitov. Now the Netziv here is identifying an obvious problem in this pasuk. What do you mean? God didn't know it was going to be good before he created it? He's after all God. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. What do you mean? He created it, and then Vayar Elokim Kitov. Oh yeah, I really did a good job by creating the sun. It was a great job. Oh, I created the light and the darkness. I did a great job. Says that it's Siv. That's not at all what the pasuk means. Obviously, God, when he creates something, he knows it's going to be good before he creates it. He didn't have to see how it goes. So it's Siv is a very fascinating chiddush on this pasuk Vayar Elokim Kitov. Which is again a very important lesson for us in many avenues of life. Says the Netziv, Vayar Elokim Kitov, Lo Shelo Yada Terem Hayoso. It doesn't mean that God only realized it was good after he created it. What do you mean? God only, it doesn't make any sense that God only understood it was good after he created it. He's God, says the Netziv. Ki yiyah tov kemo shira achar sheniyah. What do you mean? You think it's only good the way he saw it after it was created? No. Elabo gam bezeh lasos teva sheyehe hariyah tova meha emuna bidas vehaven bidavar ad she'amr b'shmos rabba shelo nispal Moshe Rabbeinu b'shasham HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'as Yisrael egel k'mo achakach shera be'enov. Wow. So the Netziv is telling us a very important life lesson over here, that it's one thing to hear about something, but it's another to see it. Even though for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no difference between knowing about something and hearing it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in his holy Torah, which is supposed to instruct us, for he himself, there was no difference between the knowledge and the seeing it. But he's instructing us that as human beings, for us, it's one thing to think about something, to know something. It's another thing to see it. As the phrase goes, right? The Gemara has in a few places, Eino dome shmia l'ri'ia. You can't compare hearing about something to seeing it. And he quotes even Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem told Moshe about the egel, okay, he told him, obviously Moshe was very despondent and upset and depressed when God told him about the egel, he was clearly upset about it. But the Medrash says, Lo nispal Moshe Rabbeinu b'shasham HaKadosh Baruch Hu, k'mo achakach shera be'enav. When Moshe came down the mountain and saw it, it was a whole different experience than just hearing about it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Unbelievable. Yedus Hashem told him. Obviously, he believed. It's not that he didn't believe Hashem, but Eino Doma Shmi L'Ri'ah. Or like a great man once said, the eye don't lie. The eye don't lie. That when you see something, I once heard that quoted in the name of the former coach of the New York Jets, Herm Edwards. Anyway, the eye don't lie. The eye don't lie. When you see your team losing every week and playing terribly, you can't. There's nothing you can do to help that. The eye don't lie. It's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to watch it. It's so depressing to watch it. And one of the lessons that in the world that we live in now, the difference between me communicating with each of you through the internet versus me communicating with each of you in person is a dramatic, dramatic difference. The difference between communicating with our students through Zoom versus communicating with our students in person. The difference between texting someone or speaking to them in person. We have to be so careful what we write in an email, what we text to somebody. Because when you're not seeing that person, you don't have the same interaction. It's not the same experience. You don't have that same connection and relationship. And we have to be very careful about this. And when we see, it's a whole different level of experience. We have to be very careful about how we communicate with people that we're not seeing. And many, many other lessons that we can know about when you see something, right? As a parent, you can imagine hearing that your child did something as opposed to actually seeing it. It's just a different level. Or you could hear that your son made a siyum on something as opposed to being there and experiencing it when you're there. In general, the experiential aspect of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us this lesson according to the Netziv, Vayara Elokim Ki Tov. It's not that for him it was any different experience for after, but he's teaching us that to really experience something, you got to be there. You got to see it. You got to see it happening. You can't just dream it. So much to talk about in this parsha. I'm going to skip the next piece temporarily. So much to talk about. All right, let's skip to Nase Adam. To Nase Adam. Let's go in order. We'll go in order. V'lachosha kara laila. V'lachosha kara laila. V'yikara lakim la'or yom. V'lachosha kara laila. The Netziv has a very sharp comment on v'lachosha kara laila. A very creative and sharp comment on v'lachosha kara laila. Pirish Chazal. Reish Meseches Pesachim. Kara HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chashecha ufakta alayla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out the darkness and appointed the darkness to rule over the night. What does this mean? What does this Gemara mean, that the darkness rules over the night? Limduna Rabbeinu shelo nema dechoshechu heder ha'or levad. Says the Netziv that this Gemara in the beginning of Sachem is coming to teach us a very important lesson. Darkness is not just the absence of light. Now, maybe scientifically, chemically, or alpi physics, maybe that is true, that the darkness is just the absence of light. But spiritually, and in the Torah's terms, what we call darkness, what the Torah refers to darkness, it's not just the absence of light. It's a creation in its own right. What does this mean? Kimo be'etzem hayom, kishesos min hachalonos nasa choshech. V'imkein eino bria. Abol be'emes, choshech hu bria b'fnei atzmo gamkein. D'ksiv, uvorei choshech. The pasuk says God had to create darkness. Darkness is, right, he says, like in the middle of the day, if you close all the windows, so it gets to be dark. But that's not what the Torah is referring to. Because darkness is specifically at night. Says that it's, what do you mean darkness is at night, is ruling the night? The Gemara says darkness rules night. What do you mean you can have darkness in the day also? Shut all the windows, shut all the light. You have the same darkness, don't you? Says that it's, no, it's not the same. At least in the language of the Torah, it's not the same. Aval be'emes choshechu bria b'fnei atzma gamkin k'dechsiv uvori choshech v'tos gadol loma shechoshech eino ela heder ha'or. It is a big mistake to say that darkness is just the absence of light. Ela Hashem oseh shneim. God creates light and He creates darkness. Darkness is a creation in its own right. Kimo kochos akdusha v'atuma, like the powers in the world, the forces of Kedusha, the forces of sanctity, and the forces of Tumah, and he refers to what he's going to say later on in Chav Zayin Tes. Hopefully we'll be able to get there. Va'al tikshem my moil briyazu. Don't ask me, well, what's the point of creating a creation called darkness? Isn't it just enough to just have the absence of light? What, just when the light goes away, there's darkness. What do you need to have a creation of darkness? Hare below bria yechoshek peheder, or even without God creating darkness, you'd have darkness by just removing the light. So why does there need to be a separate creation of darkness? Aval kvar harunu chazal. He quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin to explain this in Perek Chelak. Ubebereishis Rabbi Parshas Noach uver Yerushalmi Pesachim Perek Aleph. De or ha'esh eino manhir bayom. So he quotes a statement of Chazal that fire, right, this comes up in Bedikas Chametz, right, I think that's the reference over there in Pesachim, first parak, but in Bedikas Chametz, right, the Gemara says you have to do Bedikas Chametz at night because we know Chametz has to be with a candle, and a candle doesn't shine well during the day. Doesn't that sound a little backwards? So why do you, oh, it's got to be a candle, so we need it to shine bright, so shut all the lights so the candle should burn bright, right? It's one of the funny moments of Bedikas Chametz. We shut all the lights in the house. What do you mean? Leave the lights on. You're going to find the Chametz a lot better. Says the Gemara, no, you can't do that because you have to use a fire. And the fire shines better at night. What do you mean? The fire doesn't light up the space during the day, in a dark, even during the day in a dark place like at night. Because at night is when the darkness rules. Umize hevinu anshe male biyishivasam bachoshech masayom umasay laila. I don't know who he was referring to over here. Maybe he means people who are in solitary confinement in jails. I don't know. But he's referring to there's a certain type of intelligent person that could be sitting during the daytime in darkness or during the nighttime in darkness, and he can tell the difference even though there's no light. He can tell the difference whether it's day or night. Wow. Now again, so until this point, you're going to ask Kamenetsky, why did you decide to teach over, what's the lesson over here? What's the lesson? Kamenetsky, why did you decide to teach this Netziv? So the reason I wanted to teach this Netziv is because of the last line here. Look what he says. Ukemo ba'or v'choshech shayom v'layla. Kach B'chol davar, shenim shal la'or v'choshech kachu. It's not only that way by darkness and light. It's like that way with anything in Yiddishkeit or in the world that is compared to darkness and light, like mitzvahs and averus, doing things that bring you closer to Hashem or doing things that bring you further away from Hashem, light and darkness. D'yesh kama tovos, she'ein hada margish kol kach be'ez shehu mutzlach, ad she'nase oni umakir atova. V'kach hitzbiya yisparach bo'olamo. Says the Netziv, there are many things that are filled with light that we don't appreciate them until you see what it's like, what they are like in darkness. Like when things are going well for a person in business and he feels like, oh, it's because I'm doing great. It's because of me. And then the same me, a month later or a year later or 5 years later or 10 years later, who was riding high and was doing amazing, the same me with the same kaiches, all of a sudden, he sees a turn for the worse. That's when choshech, that's not just an absence of light. That's choshech. That's darkness. And you only appreciate the light when you also have darkness. Like on Pesach we say, Mascha b'gnosu m'sayim b'shvach. So it's important to realize that there are times in life that are choshech and times in life that are or. It's not just that there's everything's or and then you're missing the or. No, there's times when a person is under the kochos of tumah, when he's under the kochos of his yetzahara, when he's under the kochos of bad things happening to him. That's v'lachosha karalaila. It's not just that you didn't work hard enough. It's not just that you don't have light. Oh, I didn't work hard enough, so I don't make enough money. You don't understand that the light times come from the Ribbono Shel Olam and the dark times come from the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a creation called darkness. It's not just that you didn't do enough, that you didn't get high enough, that you didn't do. There's something going wrong. There's something that's controlling the negative aspects. And you don't appreciate it, you don't realize how light the light times are until you're missing it. And all of this the Netziv sees in the words, V'lachoshech kara laila. I have two final points to make. One of them is about the creation of man, and one of them is about marriage. He has a beautiful, sharp comment about marriage and a fascinating comment about the creation of man. Let's try to conclude this, even though and there's something about tefillah too. Oh my gosh, there's so much to do. Okay, you know what? Let's skip to the piece about tefillah. It's a famous idea, but the Netziv says something very, very sharp. And we'll just mention briefly. When it comes to Nase Adam, so the Netziv talks about how there's two types of man. There's man who has a natural inclination to do the right thing and to cleave to Hashem. And then there's man who basically worries about himself. He also davens and learns and does what he needs to do, but that's not his whole goal in life. And Adam, that's Adamela Elyon, the one that's called Adam from the beginning, is the Adam who inspires himself to always be looking to grow in his ruchnius, and that is his primary life focus. That's in Nase Adam. He talks about B'Tzalmenu, then he talks about Shabbos, that Shabbos is lasos, Shabbos is the Tzelem Elokim, Shabbos is lasos, that Shabbos is the anniversary of the time when the world was in its most completed state. And every Shabbos, we celebrate the fact that the world was completed and the world was in its glory. It's in its most completed state. And we need to appreciate the Shabbos as the culmination of everything that's good in the world, when the world is in its most pristine state. Now, before I get to the beautiful comment about marriage and let's read the piece about praying for sustenance. It's on the pasuk V'cholsiach hasadeh. It's a very strange pasuk in the Chumash that says that even though God created all of vegetation during the 6 days of creation, somehow that vegetation did not grow. It didn't grow right away because after the 6 days of creation, Parak Beis, then the pasuk says V'cholsiach hasadeh terem yeh ba'aretz V'chol esev hasadeh terem yitzmach. that it didn't grow. The stuff hadn't grown. So look at the Netziv's beautiful commentary here. It's very similar to Rashi's, but he expands on it in a very beautiful way. Hadibur va'esek al odos ha-sade shehu parnosas ha-olam kedeksiv melech la-sade ne'evod afilu melech choshish v'sho'ol ha-pri ha-sade zeo mashmos ha-chitzoni b'mikrozeh. This is what it means on the outside. But he doesn't understand what the message is. Rather, says the Netziv, el yesh b'zeh ha-mamar od kavana amuka. There's a much deeper understanding of this understanding. De-siach, again, the simple pshat in siach ha-sade means it's the siach ha-sade is the grass and the vegetation. But says the Netziv, the word siach doesn't just mean vegetation and grass and vegetables growing to support the world. Siach also means tefillah. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basade. The siach mashmo tefillah kvua mechuna od avoda shebelev. He points out, isn't it interesting, you know, gentlemen and ladies, we have something called avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem means all the service that you do, right? Every mitzvah. We have 613 mitzvahs and thousands of mitzvahs to Rabbanan. We have so much. It's all avodas Hashem. It's all serving God. Why is only tefillah called avoda? Avoda shebelev, right? The Gemara refers to karbanos. Karbanos and tefillah are called avoda. Al shlosh dvar ma'olomoy, al torah v'al avoda v'al gmil sasadam, avoda, karbanos and tefillah. It's all avoda. It's all serving God, right? Putting on tefillin is serving God. Shaking the lulav is serving God. Sitting in a sukkah. It's all avoda. So why is only prayer, asks the Netziv, why is only prayer referred to as avoda? Listen to his incredible, incredible chiddush, beautiful idea. You know why? Because you know how you produce food from the earth? You know what the farmer has to do? The farmer has to do avoda. He's got to plow and plant. Avoda, in a very real context, is referred to as working the land. Look what he says. The siach mashmo tefillah kvo mechuna od avoda shebelev. Like it says in Avodah Zara, ein siach elat tefillah. Remember, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada. Yitzchak went to daven. Ubira atosvus shehu tefillah kvua. V'hainyan. Demeirosh habriya kava kadosh baruch hu sheyeh esek parnasa sheba bahalichos olam mi'urav bahashkacha elyona magia ayidei mafkia shel avoda. Unbelievable. Says the Netziv, God created the world in a way that you and I get our sustenance. We make our money, we get our parnasa, dafka, through the vehicle of prayer. That's how we get our parnasa. Hainu o karbanos, either sacrifices, b'makom raka, o tefila b'chomakom, u'mishimachi nikru elu stam avoda. You think you're going to work, you're going to avoda, you're going to trade stocks on the stock market. You think you're doing avoda? The tefillah is your avoda. The tefillah is your avoda. So your avoda, the work that you go to work the land or go trade stocks or go build houses or whatever you do, or go argue cases in front of a court, you're doing your avoda, but your real avoda that's making you the parnasa, God, according to the Netziv, God set up the world in a way that your avoda shebelev, the avoda of the karbanos on the mizbeach, right? The mizbeach is known to sustain. He's going to say in a second. Shem gamkin, hainu al shem hakosav oved admaso yizbalochem pirish. The shari melach shadamosa efshoshos b'shul parnasa v'efshu b'shul b'tzoras acher mash enkin oved admaso eno el lizbo alochem. When you work the land, it's only for the purpose of food. V'kachu hevdel. Kol mitzvah shebat Torah lavodas karbanos ha-tefillah. That's the difference between all the other mitzvos and the avod of karbanos ha-tefillah. D'shari mitzvos avodas Hashem scharam shamar lo'olam haba. Ob olam hazeh ocha pir yavosha v'kavah v'chadoma midah k'neged midah. All the other mitzvos in avodas Hashem, so the reward is in the next world. Or in this world, ochel pirio, ba'osher v'chavod, you get wealth or honor. V'chadoma, mida k'negin mida. Mash enkin karbanos o tefila, ikaram ba'im leparnasa. But karbanos o tefila, they were created for living in this world, just to get your parnasa, just to get your food. K'di isa, lamine krashmo mizbeach, why is it called a mizbeach shu mezin? Mizbeach is milashon zevach. Zevach means to eat, to have a person have food. Shu mezin. Mizbeach is a language of giving you to eat. And I'll explain this in Parshas Pinchas. V'chein tefila kvua. And so too is the same thing with Shachris Mincha Maariv. Set prayers are there. You know, it's like I once said, Shachris Mincha Maariv is like breakfast, lunch, and supper. Shachris Mincha Maariv, breakfast, lunch, and supper. There's three meals a day. There's three tefillas a day. The tefillah, the Netziv says, is there primarily to sustain a person. V'chein tefila kvua. The Mishmach Nikra b'Masecha Shabbos. Chayei Shah. Right? Mitzvahs are called Chayei Olam. They get you Olam Haba. Tefillah is called Chayei Shah in Masechet Shabbos. Daf Yud Beis. I think that's a mistake. I think it's also Nida Daf Ayin. I think it's also referred to there. Oh no, that's Bani Chaim is on. Shabbos Daf Yud Beis. Right? Mordechai, where's Mordechai? He knows this. Tefillah is called Chayei Shah, right? Because one of the Amoraim yelled at another one, how come you're spending so much time on Chayei Shah, not Chayei Olam? One of the Amoraim was, the Gemara there says the story, if I remember correctly, the Gemara says that one of the rabbis was davening too long, it was taking away time from Seder. We have some kids in Yeshiva like this. They daven Mincha so long, they miss Shir. They're davening Shachar so long. They're davening, they miss. So the Gemara has one Amora was yelling at the other Amora, why are you spending so much time in Chayei Shah and you're being Maniyah Chayei Olam? Like you're spending too much time on your food and you're losing out on Olam Haba. That's what the Gemara says. Unbelievable Gemara. That tefillah is called Chayei Shah. Wow. Ulahalon v'chein kol brichas hanenin boin levarich shefa oso min uchadisa bebrachos. All the brichas hanenin is coming to try to make sure that min gives blessing, etc. And he goes on and on about this. We don't have time to finish it. But he says that, so this is why tefillah is called Siach HaSadeh. Siach HaSadeh, it's that there's a unique connection between prayer and the food that you get to eat. That dafka through tefillah, through Shachris Mincha Maariv, that's what brings a person his avodas karka, his food. Tefillah brings a person food, even though all service of God is called avoda, but tefillah and karbanos are uniquely called avoda because it's connected to avoda that brings you parnasa, that brings you your food, specifically, and that's the power of tefillah. I don't think we always associate in such a strong fashion tefillah with parnasa. I said it over. I think I said it over in the parsha a couple of weeks ago that. That chok, the word chok also, chuki, chok is a reference to sustaining, because a person is supposed to, hatrifeni lechem chuki, chok is food, and the reason why food is called a chok is because you're supposed to view the food as also just a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't understand why we get it. We daven, it's not based on our own hishtadlus, the food that we get, the parnasa that we make. It's not based on our own ishtadlus. It's based on tefillah and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Netziv on this puzzle. Chasiyah Chasada. Anyway, I was going to say something also about marriage. He talks about Ezer Kenegdo, how, I'll just say it very briefly in 30 seconds. You could look at it yourselves. But normally in all the other animal types, the male and female are basically made for just continuing the race. But Ezer Kenegdo, continuing the species. Ezer Kenegdo, he says, man is so complex. Man is so complex, and man has different desires and drives and powers, and he's the tachlis of the whole bria. And man was made to function in so many different ways. So he needs Ezer Kenegdo. Ezer Kenegdo means a few things. Number one, it means that the woman has to be as complex as man. Because the woman has to help the man out and the man helping the woman out in this area of endeavor, another area, in spiritual endeavors, in physical endeavors, in this way of doing things, and this thing in the house, and this thing with the children, and this thing in life, and this thing with so many different... Man is so varied, is so complex, and comprehensive and made up of so many different parts that the Ezer Kenegdo even wants to say that that's what the snake was jealous of, right? The Gemara says the snake was jealous of Chava. What was the snake jealous? The snake had a wife also. What was the snake jealous of Chava? Didn't the snake have his own wife also? So the Netziv says the snake was jealous of this aspect of the husband-wife relationship, that it wasn't just about procreation. It was about being lifelong partners, about being lifelong partners in everything that you do. And just one last thing about the marriage, he talks about how, isn't it usually that people who are opposites don't want to have anything to do with each other? Like people who are very different, usually, I mean, think about your friends, like people who do things you don't like, that's not who you are. You don't want to be friendly with people who are not like that. So how does marriage work, right? So this is, the Netziv is already the precursor to men are from Mars and women are from Venus. He says over here, the Netziv writes, SLO is connected. The fact that man and woman were created together, the incredible thing about how man helps woman and woman helps man, is despite the fact that they're so different, they both only want the best for one another. That's unique to the husband and wife relationship. Even though they have different needs, different wants, they operate differently, they have different levels of emotion and different levels of all things. They can be very, very different. But the uniqueness of the marriage relationship is, despite the difference, they both only want the best for one another. That's unique about the human. Everybody else, like when you're friends with people, and men who are friends with men, women who are friends with women, so if they're not interested in what you're interested in, so you have no connection, it's not gonna work. But that's the Netziv says the Chiddush. Anyway, we just mamish touched the tip of the iceberg in the shiur tonight. Again, I didn't have that much time because of Yontif, but hopefully this week we'll have more time. Bez Hashem, next week in person, 8:15 to 9. Thank you very much for joining. Bez Hashem in the Beis Medrash. Hope to be able to see each of you in person next week, 8:15. Have a great Shabbos, everybody. Gittin Vinter.